many a times I've thought, maybe one of the best ways to communicate the gospel would be to preach a hymn. Because if you look at a lot of our hymns, they are packed with truth.
Yep.
And today we sang two of them. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Do we really know what redeemed is? Look at that second one. The second one was, I will sing of my Redeemer. Who is my Redeemer? What is a Redeemer? What do you mean by Redeemer? A lot of us would automatically say, well, redemption, the Redeemer is the one who saves us. But it's so much more than that. And today I'd like us to take a little deep dive, if I could say that, into what is redemption. We use the word so freely in church, but do we really understand its meaning? We have our vocabulary, our shuns, right? We have our redemption, our sanctification, our justification, our glorification, all these shuns that we have. But do we really know what they mean? Do we really know the in-depth process? And so today we're going to turn to Exodus chapter 6. And no, I'm not going to be expositing Exodus chapter 6, but it is a great place for us to begin to understand what redemption is all about. God provided the Passover lamb to redeem Israel. We'll get into what that means. To deliver them from the death of their firstborn, this miracle forced the hand of Pharaoh to release them from bondage and to go to serve the Lord. So follow along, if you will, as I actually read through this passage. Exodus chapter 6, verses 2 through 8. So this is the second book of the Bible, if you don't know where it is. But Exodus 6, 2 through 8. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I also have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning that which I did swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give you a heritage. I am the Lord. Now let's go and let's start talking about this whole concept. First of all, we need to realize that God gave a promise to Abraham. Remember that? In Genesis chapter 15, Genesis 17, he made a covenant with Abraham that if he would worship him, that if he would be willing to trust him, that he would give him all the land of Canaan. Right? So that's a promise that was given to him. And we go down and we see that was passed on to Isaac, and that was passed on to Jacob. And so here is this heritage that is supposed to be Abraham's, that's supposed to be his children, that would be as many as the sands of the sea. So this was supposed to be his. But God had also predicted something else would happen. He predicted to Abraham that said, you know what? All your lineage as it goes down, they will end up in Egypt and they will be in bondage. They will be slaves to the Egyptians for 300 and some odd years. And lo and behold, that happened. And that's where the book of Exodus picks up, is Egypt has been in bondage for 300 some odd years. And God says, now it's time for me to get them out of there. But the problem is now they are literally slaves to Pharaoh. Pharaoh owns them. So God has to figure out a plan on how to redeem them, how to purchase them out from the hand of Pharaoh. And he says, I'm going to do this through some great miracles. I'm going to make it very costly for Pharaoh to keep you there. And he is going to release you of your bondage. And so we all know the story, how that on that fateful day, God would send the death angel as the tenth plague that came upon Egypt. And the death angel was to pass over all of Egypt, and the firstborn in every household was to die. But God said to the Israelites, he says, I have a special way for you to get out of that. There is an exception for you, that if you will sacrifice a lamb, the Passover lamb, and you will take his blood and you will mark your doors, so I can see it type of thing, and paint over the doorpost and the two lintels. So mark your house that you are of the children of Israel. And I will redeem you. I will pay the price for your firstborn. You see, redemption comes down to the point of God wanting to fulfill his promise to us. He created us in his image. But what did we do? We refused to rely upon him, and we relied upon ourselves and upon the system that we built called the world. And we allowed ourselves to go into bondage to sin. God still wants to fulfill his promise to us of a wonderful and rich life. But we're in bondage to sin, much like Israel was in bondage to Egypt. And that sin does not let go of us. It wants to hang on to us. It wants us to keep us from enjoying all that God has, but in that promise that he gave to us of eternal life. And so God bought them from their owner, Pharaoh, Egypt, and had made them his possession to love and care for, as he promised Abraham. Abraham had made the covenant with God. Today is a day to reflect on the marvelous work of God in redeeming us. Now, I want you to take this beyond saving us, but redeeming us, delivering us from bondage to sin and the law. How many of you would like to have to keep all of the commandments? And that'd be the only way that you could ever get freedom. Now, some people say there's 600 and some odd of them, and I say, nah, there's a whole bunch more than that. But remember, when we talk about the law, it's not just those 10 commandments. You know, there's a whole bunch more. Can you imagine? We would have to totally revamp this entire church if we were to try to keep the law. Because we'd have to bring in an altar. We'd have to have incense candles. We'd have to have a showbread, so a table so we could put bread on it. And then when you came in, instead of bringing your money or your offerings, you'd have to go get me a lamb. Yes, it had to be a lamb or a goat or a cow, right? And you'd have to bring that in, and then you'd have to sit there and watch me as I cut that animal into pieces. I says, here's part for you, here's part for me because I'm the priest, and here's the part that we will burn to the Lord. Yeah, I don't think that'd go over very well with our humane society. But that is what is required of the law. That's what we are in bondage to if we have not been redeemed. We also are in bondage to this world because this world basically has trained us and taught us and nurtures us and brought us up in the way that it thinks it should. Oh yes, a lot of you were raised in church and you say that doesn't apply, but you know what? I guarantee you, based upon the Word of God, that every single one of you have been infected by the world and its system. And without redemption, you are in bondage to that type of decision making and that type of life. I can go and say, well, you know, ultimately, my big problem was drugs. But drugs wasn't really my big problem. My big problem was the same problem that you have. And it's called selfishness. I want what's best for me. Oh yes, I'll help you, only if it's best for me. If I get some kudos and somebody says I like you and you know I get to feel good about myself. But that's the bondage that we are in. We are in bondage to sin. Right? And so how are we going to be set free from that so that we can fully enjoy the promise that God has given us? Glad you asked. First Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, comma, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed. And let's read through that. Okay, excuse me for not having my Bible up, but it's so much easier to have it just here. Okay, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you really think that he is blessed? Do you really think that he has blessed you? Are you willing to bless him? And it says, who which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. You see what he's saying here? He's saying that you and I have an opportunity to have a lively hope. That's not, I gotta go to church today. No, it's a lively hope, okay? It's an exciting hope. It's something that we should be enjoying. He's begotten, and that's what we're supposed to have. And it only comes through what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And here's what we get. We get an inheritance. We all want an inheritance, right? Wouldn't you love to get something that you didn't work for, but that's just given to you because you're part of the family? Okay? And it's not necessary, but we have an inheritance. But this inheritance is different. This inheritance is different than any other inheritance that you'll ever get. This inheritance is incorruptible. I've gotten some things from my mom and dad when they passed. I've got my mom's Bible. I got one of my dad's hats. Don't fit my head. My head's too big. But one of dad's hats. But they're all deteriorating. Right? I got an inheritance from them in the form of a financial remittance, but that's gone. This inheritance that Jesus is planning and to give us is, it can't be exhausted. It's incorruptible. And you know what? It's not even, can't even get dirty. It says it's undefiled. And it won't, you can leave it on your shelf in the sunshine and it's not going to fade. I mean, a lot of those pictures we saw on Friday, some of those were faded because they'd been exposed to the sun, weren't they?
Yeah.
I can remember when my dad passed, we made a collage for my mom. And in it were all pictures of dad. And mom put it in a prominent place right there. And of course, Hawaii's got lots of sunshine. And lo and behold, by the time my mom passed away, almost all those pictures could not be seen. They had faded away, right? But what Jesus Christ is giving us, it will not fade away. It will not fade away in our memories. It will not fade away from our sight. This is something that he gives us, right? And it will not fade away. And it's reserved. In other words, nobody else can take it. It's not who gets there first. It's a matter that it's reserved for you because you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You've been given this freedom. And we're kept. Now listen to this. Here we are. God gives us the inheritance. And now he says, okay, I'm going to give you all this stuff. And you know what? I'm going to work with you too. So it can't be stolen from you. You can't waste it. You can't. It won't corrode. Do you understand how valuable this commodity is that God has given us through redemption? He's given us this freedom. Imagine that you have all your life been a slave, doing whatever your master dictated, at times feeling like you were in control, only to find out the master was manipulating you to do his will. You were beaten down and downtrodden as you sought to be free, whipped by meaningless tasks, never finding satisfaction or self-fulfillment. Slavery at its best. Today we are deluded into thinking that we have set our own goals and achieved them. We will be free and master our own destinies. But it is not possible. Every single one of those things that you dreamed of, have they not been corrupted? Have they not been less than you thought? Have they not faded as time goes by? And yet God says, I am going to redeem you. He's going to give us this great and incorruptible inheritance. Today we become slaves, not necessarily to masters, but how about slaves to television? Can you go a day without television? Can you go a week without a television? Oh yeah, I can do that. I can remember as a druggie saying, I can quit anytime I want, but I just don't want to. It's just too much fun. It wasn't, but that's, I had myself deluded, right? But I was never on my own able to kick that out. Oh, I tried. I tried desperately, but it didn't work. Because without that redemption that comes from Christ, I was in bondage to sin. I was in bondage to my own selfishness. I couldn't think any other way than me. Just like the devil said, I will lift up my throne above the stars of God. It's that same type of attitude. Television, social media. I don't understand this one yet, but I understand it's quite the plague. It's quite the addiction. Actually, you know what? I guess I do, because you know what I have to do in the morning? I get up and I open up Facebook and I say, I wonder what people are doing. You know? I think I've got it under control, but why do I have to get up and see that? Why? Because there's a certain amount of bondage, even to social media. You know, my heart should immediately go, Lord, open up the doors of this world to me. Help me to see what you want me to see. But this is the way we are. We're into bondage. One of my favorites. One of these days I'll give you a whole expose on it. The educational system. Now, I'm not against education. Okay, I think we need to learn. I think we need to grow. I think that there's great benefit in education. But our educational system is not founded on the Word of God. Our educational system is definitely, distinctly, and I'm not even going to say slowly, eroding away our society. And yet people feel, I have to go to college, I have to be there, I have to, I have to, I have to. That's an addiction.
Yep.
Let's go through a couple more. Some people really believe that the government is their savior. Some people believe that I can't do it without my drugs. Now, illegal or prescribed, they still can't do it without. Now, sometimes it is necessary. I'm not gonna stomp on that territory, right? But you know what I mean. We can get addicted to these, I gotta have relief, you know? And so, how about alcohol? That quick and easy one, right? Alcohol. Oh, here comes Pastor Rob. He's gonna do it again. Sports?
Oh, no.
There are a lot of people out there that cannot live without their sports, you know? I mean, my son, and I love my son, and I know it's a joke for them, but they're in their house, it says, this marriage is interrupted for football season. Now, both of them love football, so it's not a problem there, but that is an attitude, right? And that is a bondage, right? Some people are addicted to adrenaline. What do you mean, adrenaline? How many of you have heard about extreme sports? Okay. I'm going to go jump off a cliff with just my squirrel suit.
Sure.
Now, it looks fun. But, you know, when you think about the risks involved, and these people, some of these people really have to have the adrenaline rush that comes from that jumping off the cliff, bungee jumping. All these things that people do. And how about, here, I've got to step on my own toes. Let me see this. Hobbies. We get addicted to our hobbies. They become more satisfying. And yet we become, and some people really are in bondage to their jobs, to their hobbies. I mean, the life's not complete unless I get that project finished, unless I can spend time in my shop. And spend time knitting some. Oops, sorry. Can't pick on myself, you know. I got to pick on other people. But, you know, so we have this problem. We're stuck with this thing. And so we need to be redeemed from it. We need to be delivered from it. And that's what the redemption is all about. Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 7, verses 5 through 7. Romans 7, 5 through 7. And we see that even the Apostle Paul had a problem with this bondage. And he says there in Romans 7, verses 5 through 7, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. The motions of our sin. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit. and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, that I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Jump down to verse 22 through 25, and let's continue on. For I delight in the law of the God after the inward man. Amen. Everybody delights in the law of the Lord, right? You're here because you delight in the law of the Lord. You can identify with Paul, right? But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into, what's that word?
Captivity.
Captivity, bondage, into the law of sin, which is in my members. This is Paul speaking now. He was in bondage to sin. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God that Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that in my mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And lo and behold, what we have here, Paul is saying, well, he has been redeemed. He has been delivered. He has been freed from the bondage of sin. Sin still exists. Sin is still there, but he no longer has to obey it. He is now willing and able to make a choice. You see, believe it or not, before you were saved, you didn't have a choice. You always did what mattered to self. Right? Those of you that were there on Friday when I was speaking at the funeral, if you notice, I used the phrase failure to achieve the will of God. I tried to avoid using the word sin, because so often what happens is people say sin and they go, well, one, two, that, they think only of the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. But really what sin is, the word sin by itself in the Hebrew means to miss the mark, mm-hmm. which means God has given us something to aim at. And if we don't aim and hit that mark, then that's sin, right? And so we are in bondage. Our selfishness just wants to do what I want to do. And God says, I want you to do what you want to do. But before we were saved, before you came to, you were not redeemed. And you only had one choice. You had to do what the master, I, said.
Yep.
But you have been redeemed from that. You now have a choice. So why do we gather together on Sundays? So that every day, every Sunday at least, you can be reminded that you have a choice. Are you going to live for yourself, like you did all the rest of the week? Or are you going to live for God? And I'm only saying that because you know what? I do struggle with it also. If Paul struggled with it, I don't think I'm any better than Paul. And so I will be struggling with it. Does that make me a terrible person? No, as long as I remember that I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, I am able to gain the victory over that bondage. That's what redemption is all about. So let's go a little bit further in this whole discussion. We today that do not know Christ are slaves to sin. We have no choice. We are slaves to the world system. We are children of the devil. No, we're in church. We can't be children of the devil. Before you were saved, you were children of the devil, whether you want to believe it or not. Look, I'll show you right in the scriptures. John chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. You're a servant of sin. You're a servant of the devil. And then in Romans 6:16, and this is actually my life verse because it really came true to me that I needed to make a decision, right? I had been serving myself. I was selfish. I was in bondage to my drugs and to my more to my selfishness than anything else. Drugs is just one of those words that we throw out there because people go, ooh, oh. No, it's all selfishness. Romans 6:16 says, know ye not to whom you yield yourselves as servants to obey? His servants you are, to whom you obey. Whether death, whether sin unto death, I lost my thought. Sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. There's only two choices. And so if we are truly going to taste this drink called redemption, we're truly going to experience this in our lives, it's going to be because we are willing to make decisions. And you make the decision, Lord Jesus, I want to experience the freedom that is in Christ. Lord Jesus, I want to experience the bondage from sin. Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to help me to find a way out of this. That's all he's asking for. He will provide the way to escape. It may not come right now, but it will come. Because he has redeemed you. He has paid for you. You are his child, and he has this all reserved for you. And all he wants to do is move you along that track during this lifespan. Joe Minter is in glory. He no longer has to worry about the sins of the flesh. He is experiencing absolute, utter glory. And he's saying, praise God, I believed in Jesus. Praise God, he saved me. Praise God, he carried me through. And he's saying, Carol, Jake, Janet, listen up. Look what the scriptures are telling you. He'd love to come down and tap you on the shoulder and remind you himself, but he can't. God says, no, it requires faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not faith in Joe coming back. And I don't mean that with any disrespect. I use it to emphasize the point that we are all in bondage to sin, and every single day we have an opportunity to choose. We don't no longer have to choose our selfish ways. We have a choice. The scriptures are opening up all kinds of opportunities, all kinds of decisions that we need to make. We need to take them one at a time. Realizing I have the freedom to make these choices. Because Jesus paid a little bit. Jesus paid it all. All the way to eternity, he's paved the way for you to continue to exercise your freedom from bondage to sin. It's a matter of a daily choice. It's a matter of a daily looking up and saying, God, how am I going to do this today? Lord Jesus, please help me today. Father in heaven, as we're here today, help us to show the world that you are God and not that I am something special. As slaves to sins, we do not have a will of our own. There is no freedom. We are bound to repeat the same behaviors and to manifest the same selfishness if we have not been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. His blood, his life, was ransomed for us to set. What does the word ransom mean?
Given. Pay for.
I'm going to take her captive, and I'm going to lock her in a room, right? And you, and if you want her back, oh, let's get into modern day. All your information on your computer, I've stolen it, right? And you can't have access to it. It's all right there. You can see it, but you can't touch it because you have to pay me money. That's the ransom. You give me something, I give you something back. It's not a transaction because there's no real freedom. Somebody has something you desperately need, and you need to pay for it. And so, based on that word, we know that Jesus... gave his life to ransom ours, to set us free. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 says this, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. May I draw just one quick attention for you? Notice it says that he might give his life a ransom for many. A lot of people run around and say, well, everybody's going to heaven. No, they're not. Because he gave his ransom for many, but not all. Does God want all to be saved? Absolutely. But he knows what bondage sin has on most mankind. And so he wanders to and fro, and he's looking for us to pray and say, Lord Jesus, open up that heart of that individual so that your spirit can get in and they can be delivered from their sins. Ransomed. Freed. Able to access all that God has planted around us, able to enjoy the greatness of his creation, and to see the intricacies of his handiwork, to look at the destruction he brings and see the hand of God in it. Oh, you can't see that.
God would never.
Yes, God does. We just got done reading about it in Sunday school this morning.
God destroyed a perfectly legitimate city, a pinnacle of commerce, and he destroyed it. And it says, as he purposed. You see, God is in the process of working things to bring men to the point that they will cry out to him and ask him to redeem them from the bondage of their selfishness. You and I are sitting here, and most of us, I can probably say all of us, have asked Jesus Christ to be our Savior. We've had our lives created new. So why does this pertain to me? Because we are still stuck with the same old mindset. I'll never get the victory.
Well, it's me. I'll never make it.
Yes, you will. If you simply ask. We know it's in His will. But how fervent are you willing to ask? Are you just going to ask? Are you going to ask and seek? Are you just going to ask and seek? Or are you going to ask and seek and knock? You see, it takes persistence, because we believe that He has redeemed us. He has ransomed us. He has set us free. But we have to find the key to get out. Out from the bondage that we are into sin. Those of us that know Christ, we place ourselves into slavery, acting like slaves, when we don't need to. Why? Because we have not learned to exercise or use the power of the Holy Spirit to comfort, guide, convict, instruct. Ephesians 2, verses 2 through 3. 2 through 3 says the following. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world. That's what it should be. We should no longer be walking in the course of this world, but we should be not walking. It should be our past. Ephesians 2:2, continuing on. According to the prince of the power of the air. Oh, look. It's not just what we want, but there's somebody influencing us. Somebody that's floating around controlling and manipulating the hearts of people. It's called the prince of the power of the air. Humorous thought. You realize that in the day when radio first came out, a lot of preachers said radio was of the devil because it was the prince of the power of the air. We learn a lot of things, don't we? We all make mistakes too. Right? And that was my homiletics teacher. Vibrant, dynamic, and he shared that. And, wow, that's really weird. Anyhow, by the prince of the power of the earth, sidetrack, sorry about that. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You see, that same spirit can work in us, and it says children, but we become disobedient because we don't want to leave the ways of the world. And it goes on and it says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You see, we still fall into this. We still wrestle, even as Paul wrestled, because we have not fully grasped the redemption that is ours, the freedom that is ours. We don't run around seeking to find out how can I get out of this prison called the ways of the world, called the lusts of the flesh, called the pride of life. And we do not seek to get out of it because we have not fully realized that Jesus has ransomed us from that. We have the freedom. Today you have the freedom to choose what you're going to do with the Word of God. Remember, this is the year of the Word of God in this church, and that the Word of God is quick. It means it works fast. It's powerful. Nothing it can't accomplish. Word of God is quick and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Today we might say it is sharper than a laser beam. Just to bring it into the common understanding. Sharper than a two-edged sword. Piercing. Piercing. Are you allowing the Word of God to pierce you today? Are you being convicted today by the piercing? Is God's Word saying, I need to open up a way, I need to do some surgery on you? Piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. Soul, your will. Your will makes wrong choices all the time, doesn't it? Your spirit wants to, but your spirit keeps. And that was the problem that Paul was dealing with. But here it is, the Word of God. You're being exposed to it. God is deeply piercing you. You're feeling that conviction right now. And you need to say, okay, I need to surrender to the Spirit. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Set it aside. And of the bones, of the joints and marrows. You see, God wants to work on our joints so that we can move. So that we can move. So that we can move in the right direction. And the marrow, because that's where our blood platelets, that's what gives us life. And it only comes through the Word of God. Do you understand that? I'm sorry, but if I keep beating up on you and I keep coming to you and say, did you read the Word of God today? Or you spent time in the Word today? It's because I know that's the only way that you're ever going to experience full redemption. I mean, true, it's all on the other side of glory until this body has been taken care of and resurrected. We're still stuck with it. But every day we can experience a little bit of that freedom, a little bit of that redemption when we are in the Word and we're allowing the Word to penetrate into our hearts and allow it to help us to discern the thoughts and intents of our hearts. We just merely go skipping down the road and saying, I'm going to just do this, what I did yesterday, I'm going to do it again, and not thinking about what God wants us to do. We can be freed from that. When we spend time in the Word of God. You know, a lot of what we talk about is kind of in the head. But to put that book or that tablet, those letters in front of you, and allow them to penetrate into your mind will set you free. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. God is here today and He's saying, I want to redeem you. I want to free you from those chains of sin that so easily bind you. I want to set you free. In my mind, I'm going through every single person's name here. I figured that'd get me in trouble if I started spouting mouth, because then I'd forget one. Not because I don't love you, but because I'm just frail. Still have a human body, still being decayed. So, what is redemption? Redemption is the freedom to choose not to sin. That's what Jesus bought us. That's why Jesus rose from the dead. Do you realize if it was just a matter of pain from sin, He just could have stayed in the grave? But He rose again so that you and I could have the power, the ability to put the power of God into our lives and see it work to change our lives. That's your testimony. Mm-hmm. And that's what you should be willing to share. And that's what's going to change this church. And that's what's going to have to happen if we don't want this church to become an empty shell with no people in it. We need to experience the redemption of Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for these powerful words. We thank You more importantly for this wonderful process that You have created for us. And Lord, we ask that You might help us to understand the redemption that is ours. You'd help us to latch on to that and begin to say no to the devil and yes to You. Oh Lord, deliver us from our selfishness. It is so deep, it is so ingrained. Sometimes it seems impossible, but You said with God all things are possible. So Lord, work in helping to deliver us from those sins that so easily beset us. And let us proclaim the name of Jesus wherever we go. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.